Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All Saints Day gives us the opportunity to ponder the question, who is a saint and where do we see saints? Who are the holy and righteous people? To put the question in the words of the Beatitudes from Matthew 5, who are the pure in heart? Who are those who are blessed by God, closest to Him and His ideal for our lives? Now, whether they put it in the terms of saints and holiness or not, different societies and cultures come up with different answers as to those who are the model citizens, the model of what this life is to be. And our current American context is no different, and across a wide spectrum, various answers seem to arise. Blessed are the rich. Blessed are those who pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Blessed are the woke and those who work for social justice. Blessed are those who follow their own dreams and their own hearts through life. Blessed are the good, decent, and upstanding people. And perhaps somewhere in the center and the mix of all that would be the ideal American saint of American culture today. Where does God's Word invite us to see saints? How does God's Word show us who is closest to God and His ideal for us? Well, we saw the saints this morning. We saw all of them, in fact, past, present, and future. The sum total of the saints throughout all the ages were there in Revelation 7. And that great multitude that John saw, he saw people from every nation, from the United States to Afghanistan. He saw people from all tribes and types of people, from New York City upper class to deep south backwoodsmen. Saw people who spoke all sorts of languages in this life, from English to the tribal languages of Indonesia, all the saints standing before God the Father and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, clothed in white robes of holiness and righteousness. They're all there. If you look closely, you can see the saints we remember today. You can see Bob Ritchie. And you can see the other saints near and dear to you from the past year or years gone by. If you look close enough and hard enough, you can see yourself there by God's grace. And you can even see the generations that come after you. Yes, if you want to see saints, if you want to see all of them, you can look here in Revelation 7. That still leaves the question for us, doesn't it? What makes them saints? Why are they here, standing around the throne of God in these white robes? Why are they waving these palm branches? Is it just because they were good and decent folk with all the right intentions in this life? Were they nice and kind and friendly? Did they work for or champion the right issues and causes in their lifetime? Were they able to buy their sainthood or work hard enough for it? Did they follow their own path, their own dreams, their own hearts to sainthood around God's throne? What brought them salvation? What made them saints? Well, again, we can hear it from their own lips and from the lips of this elder who speaks to John. The saints cry out, those standing around the throne cry out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then as the elder addressed John, he said, these are the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, the saints are saints through the salvation of God, through the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. They're waving palm branches, an ancient symbol of a victory won by someone else, hailing the victor as he returns to the city. They're hailing someone who has beaten a foe too big for them, rescued them from a danger they could not save themselves from. And so these saints, and all saints, are those who rejoice in God's work for them. They rejoice in His salvation for them, over sin, death, and hell. Saints are those who know they stand defeated if they enter the battle on their own strength or their own two feet. know they receive eternal victory, and they are saints by trusting in the victory Jesus won for them on the cross and in his empty tomb. That's the paradoxical view that the Bible gives us of saints. You see, saints are those who know their own sinfulness, their own weakness, their own unholiness and uncleanness. Saints don't look to their own thoughts or words or deeds or hard work or virtues. Rather, they let the flood of Jesus' blood wash over them and cleanse them. They fall down at the foot of the cross, lay down their filthy robes and torn robes of sin and death. And the Lamb of God, Jesus their Savior, lays on them the clean and spotless robe of his holiness and his righteousness. Yes, the saints are saints. These saints stand around God's throne, not because of who they are, but in receiving God's grace and salvation for them. So we see the saints in Revelation 7, but where might we see them today? Where do we see saints in our world today? Well, we see that maybe we saw one made in late August. I'm not going to go back to where the font is now, but the baptismal font was standing right here. Right, as little Croy and others have been washed through the flood of Jesus' blood in those baptismal waters, cleansing his robes, cleansing your robes with the word of God. If you want to look for saints, look no further than those who have been washed and even drowned in those waters and raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Today, I think I was standing right here as saints were renewed and restored. You see, you came today, we all came defiled by our own sin, beaten down and broken up by the sins of others against us, torn and tattered in our souls over the sin we see there and all the sin we see in the world around us. But God's word and promise came to you. It said in the promise of Jesus, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And so despite all that sin and that baggage you came with you today, you were declared holy, righteous, innocent, saintly by God's word and promise. Your robes were once more cleansed, restored, made whole. As we sung our praises, we waved the palm branches of victory, receiving God's victory over our sin, receiving his full forgiveness and grace for us. We'll go to where we normally do in pre-pandemic times. I would see saints kneeling here. Saints hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and being satisfied with a bite of bread and a small sip of wine. Not satisfied and filled in your belly, right? But satisfied and filled with the body and blood of Jesus, filling you with what makes you saints, himself and his forgiveness and his grace for you, his life-giving body and blood in with it under that bread and wine, making you saints again and again and again. And so it's true. It's true that as I walk out among you and see you here today, I see saints. I see those who have received God's word and his sacraments and receive that in faith. Now, it's also true, right, that praise the Lord, I don't have to see who's actually a saint or not. That's God's work. I'm glad he gets to do it. But we see saints and trust that we see them when we gather together. We receive that life-giving word and sacraments. But it's also true that you have the things that make you saints and keep you saints with you every day. Right? You have God's word in your homes to read, to have devotions with, to share with one another, to pray around, to share with those around you, and to share the love and forgiveness of Jesus in your everyday lives. You have the gift of your baptism each and every day, your clean robe of righteousness, and I pray it shines through and shines out into the lives of those around you, that they look at you and they see that shining and they wonder what's going on. You say, that's not by my own merit or work. Let's give glory and praise to the Father in heaven. As we remember our baptism, if we remember that we're God's saints, maybe you remember that washing of water in the Word as you splash water on your face in the morning. Or maybe you take Luther's advice and just continue to make the sign of the cross over yourself in the morning and at night. Remind you that as you enter the day, you enter by God's grace as His saint. And that no matter what happened in that day, you can rest in God's grace, knowing that you're still a saint as His forgiveness washes over you for what happened in that day. That's a little less powerful here, perhaps, but I want to tell on the story of something, a special time that I have at Trinity very often. You see, as we sing the Gloria in Excelsis, we sing the hymn of praise after the forgiveness of sins, as we sing the Sanctus, the Holy, Holy, Holy. At Trinity, the altar right stands up against the wall, and there's a cross that's kind of made of a metal similar to what the stands here are in. And I can see, as I look at the cross, I can see the reflection, a little fuzzy and hazy, right? It's not a shining mirror. But I can see in the cross the reflection of many who are gathered for worship that day. As we sing the Gloria, or even this is the feast, as we sing blessing and glory and honor and praise and might be to our God and to the Lamb, as we sing those canticles and we join our voices actually with the saints and angels, and those songs come from the words of scriptures that angels and saints in heaven are singing. I remember that the cross of Jesus is the gateway to eternal life. The cross of Jesus is the gateway to heaven. And so as I see some of the gathered saints reflected in the cross, I imagine it as a portal opening up to that vision of Revelation 7. That our songs are being joined with the saints and angels in eternity. They're not just filling a building, they're filling the world and the heavens. Because it's not just our song. It's the song of the saints who came before us. It's the song of the saints who will come after us. It's the song we'll sing forever, standing around the throne and around the Lamb. And that's just a picture, perhaps, of what eternal life is like and the joy that will be there. But I'm sure we will be full of praise for our God. We'll be full of songs and joy for what our God has done for us. So, if we want to look for saints, we want to see them here, look for those who have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Look for those who know their salvation depends not on themselves. It depends on and belongs to God and to their Savior, the Lamb, who laid down His life for them and rose again for them. Look for those who return to the cross in meekness and sorrow and humility, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness they know only Jesus can give. Look for those who are at peace with God because they know their sainthood depends not on them, but on God's mercy for them. Look for those who, even in trouble and trial, gladly bear God's name, the name of Jesus, knowing that one day He'll wipe every tear from their eye. One day they will join fully in heaven's eternal songs and praises and the perfect life forevermore. In the name of Jesus, dearly loved saints, amen.